I guess let me start with another prayer. Father, again, I just want to pray you will be with me this morning. Help me to speak clearly. Father, help me to speak the truth and to speak it in love. Pray that you would just open up all of our hearts to apply your word to ourselves. Amen. So my subject title for today is a question. And the question is, where is the Jesus that John knew? Where is the Jesus that John knew? And you'll know what I mean by the time I finish. But of all of the writers that we find in the Bible, none of them wrote about love as much as the Apostle John. There was never a writer from whose pen flowed deeper rivers of love than the Apostle John. The Bible, no other book besides the Gospel of John uses the word love more times. In the book of, 1 John. In the book of 1 John, the word love is used 33 times. In the Gospel of John, 22 times. So both of John's books take the first two places. Ephesians comes third at 14 times. Romans and the Gospel of Luke at 12. There was something about this subject that goes with the Apostle John. And everybody knows it. All 11 of the apostles, of course, Judas wasn't there because Judas was out betraying Christ. But the 11 apostles were there in the upper room. But only John recorded those beautiful words of Jesus that we find in John 13 through 17. All 11 of them heard him. John was the one that recorded them. Many Christians love this subject as well, but they love it only as a conversation topic. They like to talk about the positive side of love, but I want to deal a little bit with the other side of things. Because how can you truly deal with the subject of love without preaching against envy and anger and strife and bitterness and hatred? And I want to deal a little bit on that side of things this morning, and not just the mushy, gushy, lovey-dovey things. So to repeat myself, it was John that recorded the words of Jesus that we find in John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And again in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Again, John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It was John who wrote in 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Many people want to excuse themselves and they say, I don't hate him. I don't hate that person. I just don't like him either. But John writes that if you don't love someone, you are abiding in death. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If you don't love someone, you are abiding in death. So much for abiding in the vine, as we find in John 15. You're abiding in death. What a place to be. Furthermore, he uses the love for the brethren as a test, even of your own salvation. If you don't love the brethren, what assurance of salvation can you have? And if you think you have it, it is not founded on the Bible. Again, John wrote in 1 John 3:15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." There was a missionary to Persia named Fidelia Fisk, a very devoted missionary, and she was far from having good health. And so it was hard for her to sit on the floor, as the custom of the people was, without having a back on a chair like we're used to. And one of her pupils noticed this and goes and places herself behind her teacher and sits back to back so that Fidelia could lean against her. And then the pupil was afraid that the teacher was not committing herself with sufficient weight to the offered help. And so she whispered, "If you love me, lean hard. If you love me, lean hard." And when you get to heaven, you find this girl and you ask her, she's going to say, "I could not do otherwise. If it were possible for me to have seen the need and shut up the bowels of my compassion to offer my help, how then dwelleth the love of God in me?" And how different this is from so many of us. We look to someone and we say, "If you love me, get your act together so you don't have to bother me so much." In 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." 1 John 4:20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." There are many vices which men harbor in their hearts, which are just simply expressions of a lack of love. Anger. I happened across a video on the internet a while back. And the video was of a whale that had died and washed up on the beach. And from sitting there dead, it had begun to rot and was pretty well puffed out. So the next thing you see, a guy comes by with a stick and he just pokes the whale and it literally explodes. When you see guts just flying everywhere. And I looked at that and I was like, that's interesting. Why did it explode? That's the question. Why did the whale explode? Did the whale explode because it was poked? Or did the whale explode because it was rotten? My question for you today is, why did you explode? Did you explode because you were poked? Or did you explode because you have hatred in your heart? Envy. Tell me, said the willow to the thorn, why art thou so covetous of the clothes of those who pass by? Of what use will they be to thee? None whatever, replied the envious thorn. I have no desire to take them. I just want to rip them. And how many thorns there are in this world. That's what envy is. And what makes someone envious? Is it not that you love yourself more than someone else? People hold grudges. People have bitterness. And why? In 1 John 5:1, we read, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I remember when Crystal was born and our whole family was going over to see her. And Josiah was as excited to go and see her as anybody. And I remember Lydia commenting, she was like, I can't believe that Josiah is so excited to go see a baby. And Josiah's comment was, it's not a baby, it's Timothy's baby. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You see, when the Bible talks about a woman forgetting her pain for joy that a man child is born, us men end up just stop and listen to a woman expound because it's a little out of our realm. But I think sometimes that this idea us men understand better than the ladies, because it's so much in the lady's heart to just love every baby no matter what. But us men feel this stronger, because we are often that way, that we have to love the parents first before we feel those strong ties to a little baby. You ladies would understand this better from the other side. Imagine you started making a friend. She came over about once a week. You chatted and you visited for hours. Had a wonderful time. Then one day after about 2 months, when she left, she said, you know, I really like you, but I can't stand your kids. Next time I come, can you have a babysitter, have them somewhere else? Would there be a next time? Probably not, would there? And yet, we as Christians claim to love God, and there are other Christians that we do not love. How can this be? Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. How could John be so hard? How could John hold the standard so high? How could John be so hard on people who are having trouble loving the way they should? And of course, the answer lies in the Apostle John's identity. He was John, the disciple that Jesus loved. Six times John refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. In John 13:23, John 9:26, John 22, John 21, 7, 20, and 24. The reason why you see the statements, the reason why you see John's statements as hard is because John understood the love of God more than you do. If you understood the love of God, you would not have trouble loving like you should. So once again, where is the Jesus that John knew? In 1 John 4:19, we read, "We love him because he first loved us." 1 John 4:20, "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It all points back to Calvary. Can I propose to you that the road to Calvary's mountain, where we see the love of Jesus in its fullest form, is the only road to the victory over the vices of envy, strife, anger, bitterness, and hatred? Can I propose to you who struggle with hard feelings towards someone that you have never seen the love of Jesus? Can I suggest that you have never beheld his laid down life and thereby perceived the love of God as John prescribes? 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." There are not 10 things. There are not 7 things. Not even 2 things. Just one thing. By this one thing alone, we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. There may be little things through life that express to you God's love to you, but they're like holding a candle to the sun. They may give a little light, but it's so small it doesn't matter. Before Christ came, God's people knew that God was a loving God. But now the Son of Righteousness is risen, and we no longer need the stars. Do you know what the gospel is? I have a good question for you. When you tell your testimony, Do you talk more about yourself or Christ? I'm over and over again amazed when I go out witnessing how many people who are professing Christians that don't know why Christ died. And if I ask them for their testimony, they'll just tell me these different happenings in their life and all these different things God did for them. I was sick and God healed me. And I went to church and this crazy thing happened and this and that. And they have this big long story of a whole bunch of sometimes even miraculous happenings. And this is their testimony. That's not a testimony. Testimony has to do with you're a sinner. Christ died for you. Of course, they know on paper that Jesus died for their sins, but they don't know it in their heart. They don't realize themselves a sinner. And can I propose to you who struggle, you've never seen the magnificence of the work of Christ? I am confident that if you would once get a glimpse of who you are by looking into the perfect law of liberty, you would begin to argue with the Apostle Paul when he said that he was the chief of sinners. And if you once, by looking at the cross, looking at Calvary, perceive the love of God, you will begin to argue with John for the title, the disciple that Jesus loved. Princess Elizabeth carried the crown in the procession for her sister Mary's coronation. And she complained of its great weight. And she got the immediate answer, be patient. It'll feel a lot lighter when it's on your head. These very commands that we have, especially in the books that John wrote, to some people seem like a burden that cannot be bared. Born, whatever. A burden that they cannot carry. It's too heavy. I can't meet that. But when you begin to perceive the love of God the way John did, and some people might want to argue, they want to say, John saw Jesus face to face. John was the disciple that laid his head in Jesus' lap. But, you know, when John tells us where to perceive the love of Jesus, he doesn't tell us, lay your head in Jesus' lap. He doesn't tell us anything but look to the cross. It's easy for us to excuse ourselves and say, John saw him face to face. Of course he had this great glimpse of the love of Jesus. But the Apostle John himself looked past all that. He said, no. If you want to perceive the love of God, look to Calvary. That's where you will perceive the love of God. And when you do, these commands to love your enemy will no longer be a burden that you cannot bear. It'll be a crown that you love to wear. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So where is the Jesus that John knew? At Calvary, where John perceived his love. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for what you've told us about love. And Father, we pray you would help us in this area. Give us a glimpse of what Jesus has done for us. And help us to love you more. that we might love each other more. Amen.